Let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Praying as one. God, source of all light, by your word give light to our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to 39. And just when I was going to rely on the screen, it's not up there. Okay. Well, this is King Ahab has gathered the Israelites on Mount Carmel, and it's time for a showdown between the contending powers of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. So please read along on the screens with me as I read aloud to you. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people I will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Thanks be to the word. Thanks be to the Lord, for this is his word.
Hey, the kids to come forward and join me for a children's sermon. Good morning, guys. We all doing good today? So this morning, We're talking about something called the saints.
Yeah.
You know what the saints are?
The prophets of Baal.
Well, the prophets of Baal, that was in our lesson for today, right? That's a good story. You're going to get to hear about that in a second. But I want to tell you about the saints.
What are they?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to ask you that question. What do you think the saints are?
Prophets of God.
Prophets of God. Okay, maybe. Any other ideas? Any ideas? You ever heard that word before? The saints? Yeah? Yeah? You haven't? Okay. Well, the saints are all of the people that have believed in Jesus. Okay, so... Well, okay, so... So do you guys think that you know anyone who are saints? Do you know anyone who's a saint?
No. I don't even know what saint means.
Well, I just said what saint means. Were you listening, Holland? No, probably not, huh? Anyone who loves Jesus is a saint.
I like Jesus.
You love Jesus? Okay. You see anyone else here that maybe loves Jesus? Everyone here loves Jesus, right?
So all of you guys are saints.
That's right. All of us are the saints. Now, today we observe a very special day called All Saints Day, where we remember not only the people that are alive here, but also the people who have died.
That loved God.
That loved God. Exactly.
Yay.
Right. Exactly. Hello. Right. And they have... And our moms and dads, yep. So, that's right, yep, yep. And your great-great-grandma, yep, yep, yep. And my grandpa, and lots of our friends and our loved ones. No, my dad didn't die. No, he's still alive. Yep, that's right. He's so old, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yep. That's right, exactly right. I am happy about that, too. So I wanted to show you guys something to remind us of how special all of these saints are and how important it is that all of us are so different from each other. Okay. Anybody know what this thing is? That's right, Mr. Potato Head. All right. I really like Mr. Potato Head. Yeah? All right. So... I want to show you guys something, all right?
He's different.
All right. Put a nose on him. We'll give him some eyes. Okay. We'll give him a mouth here. Let's see. What else we got in here? Shoes and hats, you think? Yeah? All right. We'll give him ears. And let's see what else we got. All right, that's probably good. All right, so tell me about my Mr. Potato Head here. What's interesting about my Mr. Potato Head? He has three noses?
No, two noses. Two noses on one face.
He's actually got four noses. You guys see this?
Four.
He's got big noses, he's got small, but he's got a nose where his eyes are supposed to be. And he's got a nose where his ear is supposed to be. He's got a nose where his nose is supposed to be. And a nose. So do you think he could eat or see with all of these noses?
No.
No? What does he need?
Eyes.
What does he need?
He needs
a new... What do you think? He needs ears. Okay. Well, let's find ears. We'll get one with an earring here. And one... Oh, we got earrings here. That's nice. All right. Okay. All right. What else does he need?
Eyes.
He needs eyes. Okay. Well, let's find some eyes here. Oh, he's got nice eyes. Okay. What else does he need?
A smile.
All right. Let's see if we can find an... Oh, that's a nice smile. A tooth missing. That's perfect.
Oh, that's me. Oh, really?
So now he has all of the things that he needs. So...
No, he doesn't.
Well, he needs arms and legs and all that stuff, too. But we don't have time for all that stuff. But, oh, a hat. Okay, we'll give him some hair and feet. Very good. Okay, so now he has all of the things that he needs. So in the same way, my friends, God has given each one of us. All right, let's put arms on her. Otherwise, this will be the children's sermon that never ends here if he doesn't get arms. Okay, so. All right. So.
He needs to be extra strong.
We'll save this one for later. All right. So now he has hands and legs and a mouth and eyes and ears and everything that he needs. So listen up, guys. I've got something really cool to tell you. You ready? Each one of you is a part of the body. And every saint is a part of the body. Some people are good at singing. Who's good at singing? Okay. Who's good at drawing? Drawing? Are you good at writing stories? Are you good at making up stories? You're good at making up stories? All right, okay. Henry, what are you good at?
Watching TV.
Yeah, you're good at that. But you're also really funny, right?
Yeah.
Emily, what are you good at?
Singing
and gymnastics, right? So God needs all of the saints to be able to be a part of God's family so that God's ministry can be great, right? And every person here is either a nose or an eye or a hat or an ear. They're so good at so many different things. And when we all participate in the body, then God's church is complete. You can tell me later. All right. So we're going to pray now. Are you ready to pray? You ready to pray? All right. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. You can repeat after me, okay? Dear God, we thank you for all the saints. And we thank you for our talents. We thank you for our gifts. We pray that you would help us to use all these gifts every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, nice job, guys. Nope, you go back to your seat. All right.
Supplies.
Great. Good job. All right. Go sit down.
What did the judge say to the bad dentist? You can't handle it.
Nice. All right. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we talked about the Ten Commandments. Who remembers talking about the Ten Commandments together? Anybody? You all know the Ten Commandments, right? You've heard of these before? Okay. One of the first commandments we remember is, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of slavery. You'll have no other gods before me, right? The straight up front thing. Now, you might think that if you didn't follow that commandment, that you've got a problem with God, but maybe it doesn't really have an impact horizontally on your lives with other people. That if you somehow don't follow a quote, religious, lawful life, that you'll have a problem with God, but it doesn't really matter in terms of your neighbor. Well, today's story from 1 Kings is a good test case in this. It features one of the great kings of Israel, King Ahab, who features really prominently in that northern kingdom. Now, Ahab decided to enter into an alliance with a foreign country and married his wife, and her name is Jezebel. You ever heard that name before? Is Jezebel usually a nice girl in your estimation? No, not usually, right? Well, we know. So Jezebel, she follows the god known as Baal. Baal, one of the chief gods in the ancient Near Eastern pantheon of gods at this point. Think of Baal sort of like Zeus, I guess, if you know Greek gods. Baal is the god of thunder and lightning and rain. Okay? Now, they decided to build an altar to Baal in the northern kingdom after Ahab brought Jezebel in. And what better way to open up a new altar to Baal but to sacrifice a child on it? Because that's what the Baals do. You know that story in our Old Testament in the book of Genesis where Abraham is commanded by God to sacrifice his son Isaac, and then right before the knife comes down, God stops him from doing that? It's because in the kingdom of God, children are not sacrificed to idols. Children are valued. All human life is valued in God's economy. But not so much with the idolatrous cult of the Baals. And Ahab's decision to not follow God, to have no other gods but God, results in real human tragedy. And when all of this happens, God calls the prophet Elijah out of the wilderness to come before King Ahab and say to him, because you have done this great evil thing, not a drop of rain is going to fall on this land. Now, if Baal is the god of thunder and lightning and rain, and the prophet of God comes and says there's not going to be any rain, you can tell we've got ourselves a good old-fashioned showdown coming. And for 3 years, no rain falls in Israel. And finally, this has to end. The people are in turmoil over the famine that comes about when there's no rain. The Dust Bowl. And so God calls Elijah to go to Ahab for the final showdown. And Ahab, in what is one of my favorite lines of the Old Testament, sees Elijah and he says to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" As if it's the prophet of God that's making trouble for the people. You see, it's often the case when powerful people do things that really damage a society. When someone comes to tell them that they're wrong, they're the ones who get blamed. And so Ahab blames Elijah for all of this famine. And Elijah stands right up to him and says, "I'm not the troubler of Israel. You are. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to assemble all of your prophets of Baal, and we're going to have a contest. We're going to see which God is really God. And just so we're sure that it's fair, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build two altars. We're going to have one altar built to Baal, and we're going to have one altar built to the Lord. And then we're going to pray and see which one will light on fire first. And so, what do you think is going to happen? Baal is the god of thunder and lightning and rain. Right? The simple request to send a lightning bolt down onto dry ground and light it on fire shouldn't be that hard for the god of thunder and lightning and rain. Right?
Right.
The deck is stacked for the prophets of Baal. Not only that, but they sacrifice a bull. Which, hey, remember the golden calf? The golden calf is a statue, is an image of Baal. So even better, we're doing everything we possibly can to get Baal's attention here, all right? So sacrifice a bull, put it on the altar, you know, build this up, and then call upon your God. And so they do. The worship begins. And the prophets of Baal, they dance and they sing and they wail. And nothing happens. And Elijah says, I see what's happening. You're going to have to be louder because he's sleeping. Baal must be asleep. Or maybe he's doing something else. In Hebrew, which doesn't come across in our translation, cleaned up as it is, Elijah says, maybe he's in the bathroom. So call him louder. And so they do. They start to slice themselves with swords, and they're bleeding all over the place, and they're wailing, and they're ululating. This kind of thing, right? And they're going crazy around this, and they do it again and again and again. Nothing happens. The prophets of Baal, in fact, they take all day long, and nothing happens. And then Elijah says, all right, all right, all right, enough is enough. Builds his altar out of stones, 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he tells his servants, go get 4 jugs of water. And he digs a trench around it and he douses it in water, which must have been pretty hard to come by after 3 years of no rain, right? So they had to work hard for this. Douses the thing in water, and then prays a simple prayer. Oh God, so that all here will know who is the real God, answer me. And without all of the pyrotechnics, all of the slicing, all of the singing, all of the dancing, all of the chanting, without all of that mess, with one simple prayer, whew, this ball of fire comes flying out of the sky and lights up the entire sacrifice, lights it on fire, and all of the water goes away. And there can be no doubt in their minds who is the one true God. And then, so that everyone knows who's in charge, Elijah takes a sword and slaughters every last prophet of Baal that there is, which is not in our reading for this morning. But it's important to note here the cost of following other gods. Now, idolatry is not something that we necessarily think we have a big problem with in our society today, right? I mean, I don't have a golden calf sitting anywhere at my house. I don't know about all of you, maybe, maybe not. Don't have an Asherah pole or an image of any other god. So do we have a problem with idolatry today? Are we worshiping things other than the one true God? Are our children, our families, and the vulnerable in society suffering as a result of that? Well, unfortunately, it doesn't take a golden calf to worship something other than the one true God. And fight against it as we may, we again and again get tripped up by the temptations of money and power and success and comfort. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be thought of less than someone else. We want to succeed. I suppose there's nothing wrong with that. But at what cost? At what cost? In our society, where we have a crisis on our hands in so many different ways, whether it's with our climate or at our borders or in our criminal justice system or with the drug epidemic or in healthcare or whatever it might be, things are bad. And it feels like they're getting worse. And yet, rather than focusing on God and rather than focusing on the good news of Jesus Christ and all of the things that Jesus had to teach his disciples, we throw all that stuff out for some prosperity idol. That as long as we're comfortable and as long as we're getting ahead, then everything is okay. But it's not. We are somewhat privileged as white middle-class Americans to not have to worry about some of the things that our brothers and sisters down in Patterson are worrying about. And it's idolatry, my friends. It's no different than Ahab and Jezebel sacrificing children on an idol to the false god Baal. Except we don't call it Baal. We call it so many other different things. And it's not necessarily our children, but it's somebody else's children. Or somebody else's elderly mother. Or somebody else's brother in another country or in another place. But the gospel of Jesus Christ demands a singular focus on the one true God and demands of us sacrifice. Not of our families, not of our children, not of our poor and our suffering, but of ourselves, of our own selfish ambitions, of our own worldly desires, to lay those things on the altar of God and then to pray for God to come and consume them in one giant fireball. It's appropriate that we would study this text and this passage on the day when we remember the saints. And we remember the life witness of those who have gone on before us. Those faithful who leave for us a legacy of lives lived in faith. A good number of the folks who are on our list of names to read today are those who lived through the Great Depression, world wars, who fought and served in Vietnam, who are reminders for us of what it means to be faithful, of what it means to have the one true God as your only hope, your only comfort. We focus on question and answer number one of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is one that we've all heard. We might even remember some of it. What is your only comfort in life and in death? It's that I am not my own. I don't belong to myself. But I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who's fully paid for all my sins and rescued me from the snares of Satan. Because I've been rescued, I can now live wholeheartedly for the one true God. That's what we celebrate on All Saints' Day. That's what we remember, that we are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has set us free to live our lives wholeheartedly for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not some cheap idol to throw away, but for the true, true good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for testimony. The testimony of the saints, for their lives and for their witness to us of what it is to live wholly for you. And we thank you for your grace in their lives, that in those times when they were not perfect, that your amazing grace offered forgiveness and restoration, and that they are now fully in union with you. And so for us still here, Lord, may we have the courage to walk away from anything that is not of you, pursuing you, your good news for us in this life. Help us to remain faithful, Lord, just as you are faithful to us to the very end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.